Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big bad show tonight. Oh. Oh. Yeah, it's the big show. Come on, crank it up and turn on all the lights, y'all. Oh. Well, get ready for something that you never know. You won't see it coming, but I promise you'll know. The big show.
Good evening. Welcome. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN, firmly ensconced inside the Allstate Showcase studio, as we always are. Glad you're spending some of your Sunday night with us. Another challenging day, but we have a big show planned for you. It is always more interesting, more fun, and more, dare I say, provocative when you are involved. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. That is also the text line. If you call in, no, you won't be talking to Cody. Cody's gone for 4 weeks. Cody will not be with us for four shows. In his stead, the very talented Joey Gelman, who is Dave Plyer's normal producer. So Joey has had very little sleep today. Be nice to him. You'll get to me. That's how it works. So Joey will be with us for the next 4 weeks while Cody is jetting about the globe to hopefully safe hotspots. Everything's going
safe
crazy.
Hotspots.
The world is the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah. So I'm hoping Cody is on the handle. And
well,
not
last
in the
I
basket.
Saw, he was in Spain.
Yes, Spain so far. Knock on wood. Today everything's fine in Spain. You know, but that's but we don't know. Okay. If you want to keep in touch with us via social media, you can do that as well. It's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. Karen Conte, you'll be here after 8 o'clock. She'll be answering your legal questions. We also have some big legal stories to discuss with Karen. We'll get into some hotel horror stories, a little bit of naked news. We will check in with my pal Ro Khan, who is at the Republican National Convention. He'll be broadcasting from there all week, starting tomorrow, of course. So Ro will come in after 6:30, and of course at 6:20. We'll talk to Jim Ryan of ABC News. He is in Baton Rouge covering the shooting and the murder of the three police officers today. It is, again, a horrible day, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to want to talk to you after we talk to Ro at 6:30. I'm going to open it up to you because today's news is affecting me, as I'm sure it's affecting you, and I think it's important for us to kind of talk about it together. So we'll do that between 6:30 and 7. Right now, though, I want to get into the CPD and their response. We reached out to CPD, and they did issue a statement today. They said, I'll read you their statement, and then I'll tell you. So this was a Chicago Police Department statement on Baton Rouge. Quote, our thoughts and deepest condolences are with the Baton Rouge Police Department and the families of the slain officers. CPD has reached out to offer any support to police and police resources that could possibly assist. Currently, there is no threat to Chicago. However, notifications have been made to CPD officers, and we continue to patrol in pairs and in uniform and remain vigilant. We ask that everyone take a moment to pray for the Baton Rouge community during this difficult time. End quote. That is the statement issued by the Chicago Police Department today in the wake of these shootings in Baton Rouge. And just to reiterate, now you remember after the Dallas murders of the police officer down there, they had Chicago Police Department had instituted that the officers start traveling in pairs. Normally, officers will patrol solo, but now in an effort to watch each other's backs and to just be a little more visible, officers are going out in pairs. That will continue. CPD spokesman Anthony Guglielmi said officers were notified of the fatal shootings and said the policy of working in twos put in place after five officers were gunned down in Dallas on July 7th will remain in place for the time being. Police officials previously said having officers team up helps keep them safe by increasing visibility. I don't understand how you put a uniform on these last couple weeks. The amount of courage it takes to know that, you know, Baton Rouge has been very tense for the last week and a half, and we understand why. Dallas, there wasn't that tension. So it doesn't, whether you have a police department that has a very good relationship with a community or a police department where their relationship with the community is strained, it doesn't seem to make a difference now. The men and women who put on that uniform are targets. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. I'm not trying to whip people into a frenzy. But, you know, in Dallas, there was only one reason those police officers got shot. It was because they were police officers. The same seems to be true from what we're learning about Baton Rouge, that there is no other reason. This guy came from Kansas City, and his intent was to shoot police officers. And he did it. Thankfully, he's down. Again, Jim Ryan will join us in a few minutes and tell us what the latest is, what new developments, if there are any, and we'll check in with them. The president spoke a little bit earlier. I think one sentence really stuck out to me, and I think on a day like this, it makes a lot of sense. It was echoed by other officials in Louisiana. We need to temper our words and open our hearts. And this is a day to ask questions, but be careful what we're saying, because whether we want to admit it or not, words are very inflammatory lately. And one word, one sentence to the wrong person puts them over the edge. One message that's put out by the media can put somebody over the edge. So while we struggle to try to find an answer for this and struggle to figure out why is this happening and where does it stop and are we going to be able to come through this? You know, the rational part of me says, of course we're going to come through this. America always comes through things like that. But then there's an emotional part of me that is, I'm torn up today. I was talking to Joey before the show, and you know me, I'm usually, oh man, I'm jubilant. I can't wait to get in here.
Very positive person.
No, that's not true. I'm probably one of the most negative human beings in the world, but I always approach this with a certain joie de vivre.
Mm-hmm.
And today, it's like, it's beaten down on all of us.
Like a sucker punch.
Yeah, for everybody. I'm not unique in
right.
this. And it's heartbreaking when you're watching the reaction of people in Baton Rouge. You're watching not only the police officers' families and the other police officers, but the parents of people who've been victims of gun violence. Mm-hmm. You know, Alton Sterling's mom is on CNN weeping because she's like, listen, we're not calling for blood. We're not calling for violence. We want justice. And for somebody to come here and kill people who are part of our community and who are people's fathers and brothers. And, you know, you're killing our community by killing the police officers. And she said, I know what those families feel like. And she does. She lost her son a week and a half ago. So, you know, these, as the president called them, cowards who are attacking the police, they want us to think that they're acting on somebody else's behalf. And they're not. They're acting on their own. And they're acting because they're lunatics. And because something has flipped a trigger in their head. So we'll get into more of that and how you're feeling about it, how you're reacting to it. We'll talk about that a little bit after 6:30. Got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Jim Ryan of ABC News. He'll give us the latest from Baton Rouge. We're doing all of it here on 720 WGN.
There is not an active shooter scenario in Baton Rouge. No active scenario that involves a shooter in the city of Baton Rouge. We do believe, based on the information that we have, again, this is ongoing. We believe the person that shot and killed our officers, that he is the person that was shot and killed at the scene. So that's what we know right now.
Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. That was a police spokesman earlier today in Baton Rouge. Jim Ryan has been covering this story for ABC News, and he joins us now on WGN. Jim, thanks for taking some time this afternoon. I appreciate it.
You're right, Ryan.
What's new at this point?
Well, we know that the suspect in the case was an ex-Marine, that we still don't know what the motive might have been. In fact, the police won't hold another news conference until tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Until then, there are still a lot of questions. We know that those three police officers were killed, that one more is in critical condition, that a couple others are still hospitalized but are expected to be okay. So, I mean, it's sort of where it stands, Brian. It's just a matter of piecing it all together, witnesses, and, you know, the background that the FBI and others are likely to come up with in the next 24 hours or so.
Now, we know Gavin Long, the killer, as you said, an ex-Marine. earlier in the day, there were thoughts that maybe he worked alone. Then there were two people picked up as quote-unquote persons of interest. Where do we stand on them at this point?
Well, and interestingly, when the police held a news conference, they said that there was no active shooter situation, but that's not to say that other people might somehow have not been involved, Brian, and I think that's where it, as was the case in Dallas after the shooting there, people were picked up and questioned. I think it's the fog of war had the thinking going that many more than one person were involved here, and perhaps that were in Baton Rouge too, but all indications it was just the one person.
And are the police saying that, you know, they'll know more today? Or have they released any more information about these people of interest, or are we just kind of at an impasse for today as far as information?
You know, that's it. I mean, I was a little surprised that, A, they didn't take questions, and that, B, they weren't going to hold another briefing until tomorrow sometime. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, those questions just don't have answers tonight, Brian.
Is the scene still locked down, or have they finished collecting evidence, or is that something that will go through the night?
It's likely to last all night, and that's a busy street. I think they'll try to reopen at some point tomorrow, but in the meantime, it's just a matter of very meticulously going through and picking up shell casings, looking at any evidence, talking with witnesses, and there is a lot of evidence to go through, Brian.
Now, we saw, Jim, there was the kind of home video, phone video of the firefight. Have the police indicated that because it is a busy street with a lot of car dealerships and other sorts of businesses that they're going to be able to get other sorts of video from surveillance cameras?
Yes, absolutely, and they'll be looking at all of that. There's little strip shopping centers, little beauty supply store, the car dealerships. It could all offer a real wealth of information. It seems that every business and every person is equipped with a camera these days, and it's likely to help complete the picture. The suspect is dead, but at least we should know much more based on that video evidence.
Have they started to release any information regarding the officers who were killed?
No, nothing official. You know, the names are starting to come out, but nothing's been confirmed with the police department. We're learning about officers who've been with the department for as little as 1 year, up to 10 years of service, either to the city police department or to the parish sheriff's department.
And what about the any update? You mentioned the one officer who is in critical condition. Has there been any update on his condition?
No, not yet. That's the one that is still very touch and go, and I think that those police cars will be parked outside that hospital all night long.
Jim Ryan with ABC News, our newsman here, Roger Badish, has a question for you.
Hey, Jim, you've been in touch with police officials throughout the country in the wake of all of these shootings. These shootings seem to be lone wolf type shootings. These are individuals that have questionable backgrounds, not necessarily related, their actions not necessarily related to the specific events where they showed up, even though it was convenient for them. Is this something that we're seeing is now coming out in the open? Is this something the law enforcement officials are refocusing their efforts on?
Well, absolutely. And I think you hit it on there, Roger. The DPS and across the states are distributing bulletins daily, offering credible threats or what they believe might be credible threats. A lot of it comes off social media. But yes, there is that threat. It looks as though the person in Dallas, that the big crowd that was gathered there for Black Lives Matter March was a big crowd regardless of what the cause was. That man knew that there would be police officers there. A call to police about a person with a gun in Baton Rouge would certainly get a large police response and potential targets. But again, we still don't know from Baton Rouge exactly what the connection might have been to the shooting of Sterling, of Alton Sterling there in that city on July 5th.
Jim, we know Baton Rouge, you mentioned the killing of Alton Sterling. Baton Rouge has been very tense for the last week and a half. Have there been any statements from any of the protesters, any of the movements regarding today's tragedy?
Yes. Interestingly, the mother of Alton Sterling has put out a statement decrying this act of violence. She says that she's disgusted with her words when she sees what's happening, the violence against law enforcement. Yes. You know, she wants to see a show of support for her husband, but she says she absolutely does not want to see any violence. We heard the same thing last week from Cameron Sterling, the son of Alton Sterling, in poignant statements, a 15-year-old boy saying that that he wants to see peace in his community.
Well, it's going to be interesting to watch how things develop and, you know, what we find out. I know they used another second police shooting in a couple of weeks where a robot has come into play. They used Baton Rouge police used a robot to check the shooter for explosives. Nothing was found, correct?
Correct. That's right. Yeah, you're right. They're finding creative uses for those SWAT team robots they want.
Well, listen, when you pay that much money, you got to use them. Unfortunately, it's in horrible situations. Jim, I appreciate the time this afternoon. It is always great to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
That is Jim Ryan from ABC News. Let's do this, and then it'll be Roger with his news, and then Ro Khan checks in with us from the Republican convention. A lot to get to on WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN tomorrow. Without sounding too theatrical, the eyes of the world will be on Cleveland and the Quicken Loan Center, where the Republican National Convention will take place. The presumptive nominee, Donald Trump, will be crowned as his party's candidate. And Ro Khan will be broadcasting it all from the arena, and he's taking some time tonight. Hi, Ro.
Oh, dear God.
I can only imagine the thrill that is pumping through your body right now as you sit on the precipice of a Trump candidacy.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. Well, it's kind of exactly what we expected. We just got briefed by the security and the logistics people here. And it is, let's put it this way. My reporting, Brian, at this very moment, is that it is exactly as we predicted it was going to be, that the RNC and the Trump campaign are on two totally different pages in terms of what the logistics are here. There is some confusion. You know, the Secret Service runs the exterior of all of this.
Okay.
And then once you get inside the building, with the exception of corridors that the Secret Service is in charge of, the whole thing is run by the RNC in the like external concourse. And then once you get into the arena, it's run by the Trump campaign.
Oh.
So what happens inside the Trump campaign, like the stage is Trump campaign.
Okay.
The delegates are the RNC and all of that. That's the way that system works. And then once you get outside, the three parties are having trouble communicating. Because, you know, as we've been learning throughout the last number of weeks, that the Trump campaign wasn't aware that they had to do this.
Right.
And he didn't have a ton of support, and support personnel and people who, you know, kind of knew what they were doing. That's why Paul Manafort has been really, really, really important to them.
And how's the Secret Service reacting to the fact that people can carry anywhere they want?
Well, now that's a really interesting problem. I mean, this is an open carry state. It is an open carry state that, as we've been learning throughout the day here, there was going to be this one pro-Trump organization was going to come and they were going to carry their weapons and carry on their person. There was also I believe there was a Black Panther organization that was also going to do it.
Oh. Okay.
And they have both sent out memos to their people, emails out to their people. Please don't carry. It's creating too much of a burden because, quite honestly, you've got local and state law enforcement here and Secret Service that are all and other federal agencies that are patrolling this. I mean, it is an armed camp around the Quicken Loans Arena, and it is an armed camp around the convention center. And what they've done is they've gated off, walled off, literally a corridor between the convention center and the Quicken Loans Arena, which is a third of a mile apart, and that's basically an encampment between those two facilities.
And how far out of how big a radius is the security around the two buildings in total?
It changes depending on kind of where it is, but it's a significant. It's a significant distance, so is designed in case there's any kind of, hijinks or explosions or things like
right.
that.
I like hijinks, not in this circumstance, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's a significant amount of distance, but Cleveland, downtown Cleveland, isn't all that big,
right?
Right, so it's just they're trying to do what they're trying to do. A lot of streets are closed down. Streets are going to continue to be closed down. But back to your initial question, Brian, about the open carry situation, is that, people are being asked not to do it, even though it is state law. It's in the state constitution that you're allowed to carry your weapon, long gun or sidearm, whatever it happens to be. It's your God-given right, according to the Constitution of the state of Ohio, to be able to do that.
Well,
and it had been challenged over the years. And we'll see exactly what kind of trouble or not that creates tomorrow and throughout the week.
How's the mood in the city? Are people excited that the convention is there and that the circus has come to town?
Brian, all I can say is that we're very excited.
I can tell by the tone of your voice, Roy. You sound jubilant that you are there.
I am. That's the word I would use. I would use that, Brian. Jubilant is the way to describe it. It's interesting because the streets are kind of deserted right now around downtown.
Okay.
And it's a Sunday. I mean, that's part of it.
True.
But I think that there's also the people who are living here in and around downtown, you don't see a whole lot of activity in and out of buildings and stuff. And I think it's been a lot of Airbnb around downtown. So it's a lot. It's people who are coming in like us who are coming in to cover this or work in some capacity at it.
Now, we know the campaign has been things that nobody has ever seen before, and you've covered conventions before, Ro. Are you expecting the convention to be just an exaggeration of what we've seen so far in the campaign? Because they're already saying, well, maybe Donald Trump is going to buck tradition and speak on Monday instead of waiting till Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we know what to expect. And we were told that in our programming briefing today by ABC News, which is, they planned, and then they were just told by the campaign, hey, it's going to be by the seat of our pants. We'll let you know as it happens. Because as you've seen, some of the people Tim Tebow is not going to be taking part in it as
That's
they thought
a
he
shame.
Was. Yeah, I know. Good old number 12 or 14 or 18 or whatever, depending on the team he was on. I think there are going to be a lot of surprises. I think that you're going to see they've laid out the nights. There's a theme for every night of the convention. So tomorrow is Keep America Safe. And
it's with all the people carrying guns into the arena. That's nice. All right.
Right. Keep America Employed is one of the nights. And Keep America First. And then the last night is Keep America One. O-N-E. Huh. Not win, one. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that and that's ostensibly the night that Trump speaks.
Well, that will be that's going to be interesting to see. Keep America One.
I would hope, and for television ratings it would be, and radio ratings I might add,
sure,
it would be gigantically important if he spoke every night. So I'd like to encourage, if I run into him, I would like to encourage him to speak every night.
Well, he's always got something to say, whether you agree with it or not. Should we make anything out of the fact that the past two Republican presidents are not going to be there? A lot of high-profile Republican office holders from the past are not going to be speaking at the convention.
That speaks for itself, Brian.
All right.
Yes. I think we understand what's going on there. Any further elucidation is necessary?
I watched the head of the RNC today try to spin that into that. Well, listen, we're trying to make it a convention of the outside and not the establishment. But that's basically just spin, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Good. I'm just checking it because Ro. I respect
you. Want to check your own? All right. I want you to look outside onto Michigan Avenue.
Yes, sir.
And is it daylight outside?
It is.
Okay, you have your answer right
there.
All
right, so
I trust your instincts on
that. Thank you. I appreciate that. What'd you make of the Mike Pence announcement?
It's an interesting one. Obviously, that is his, that's his go-to, right? I mean, that's
sure.
he said it right then and there. I'm doing this for party unity, not because I like the guy. I mean, it's essentially what he should have said right after that.
Right.
You could tell that it was rather frosty. I think Mike Pence put on a brave face and did his best. You remember Mike Pence was a talk show host before
Yes.
he was a governor, right?
Right.
Before he was a congressman, then a governor. I mean, he came out of that sort of Rush Limbaugh strain of politicians, people that were encouraged by Rush Limbaugh and by, you know, Ronald Reagan politically, and then Rush Limbaugh as a talk show host and blah, 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 blah. And then he became a, you know, he went into politics right out of that. So he's a guy who knows how to make a speech. He knows how to present well, and he was working hard, man. I was watching that, and I was thinking, oh man, this guy is really he's putting on a brave face. He's trying to do the right thing. He's a good guy. I've known him for years. I think he's a solid human being. And one of the reasons I think that he was encouraged, that the kids and some of the other people around Trump were encouraging him take Mike Pence, is that he's pretty scandal free,
right?
He's got the great family. I mean, you know, you never know when you get into this deep level of things. He's just, if you're going to have a quarrel with him, it's going to be about his philosophy and his policy. And some of that stuff is super conservative and super evangelical. And that's going to be something that I think the Trump people think that they need. They need to shore up the right side of the Republican Party. I kind of strategically disagree with that. I think actually those people are never going to vote for Hillary anyway. Right. So he kind of has them. The next piece of the puzzle is how do you go to the middle? And I don't think that Mike Pence necessarily helps him there. But Mike Pence is certainly going to introduce him to an audience of people that are very leery about Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. And you know, as you say, Mike Pence, a lot of things, middle is not one of the adjectives you would use to describe
it. Right, right,
so,
right, right.
Now, before I let you go, Rowan, I know you've been busy all day getting things done. Just for people who are going to be listening to you from 3 to 7 all week as you're at the Republican National Convention, how does it work on Radio Row there? Does the committee, Republican committee, just bring people through and say, hey, here's all your people?
It depends. I mean, obviously, we have our crack production team is here with us. Our executive producer, Jeff Carlin, is here. And
we also have,
as I've been calling him all day, Jeff Carlson, as we've been checking in. I think we should travel incognito. That's
I think
why I'm
so, too.
It. Yeah.
So you're Robon? Is that how you're
doing it? I'm Robon, yes. That's okay. What I'm doing. Yeah, that's how I'm doing it. You know what? It's interesting. That goes to sort of the organizational issue here. Again, the RNC has cooperated very much with the companies that are doing Radio Row. There's production companies, and we're with ABC News and their production team for this, and they've already booked up a number of people for us, and they have runners, and they have a whole organizational staff of people who they're going to bring people to us. There are 160 different radio shows on Radio Row this
year.
Wow. It's the largest ever in Republican and RNC history, the convention history. So, and everybody wants to be here.
Oh, sure.
And,
yeah. This is the one.
Yeah. And so there are, and luckily we're in a, you know, we have a very tight team, and I've worked with this ABC News team.
Right.
Since the 2008 conventions. So this is my first one with them, and they've been doing them since, you know, forever. So they're excellent. So you're going to hear a lot of really interesting people. If you tune in between 3 and 7 throughout this week, you're going to hear a lot of interesting people. We're going to give you a lot of color. We have an all-access pass to the Quicken Loans Arena, as we will also in Philadelphia. I know we get a lot of, you know, question, well, are you people going to the are you going to Hillary too? Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
we're going to cover it.
One at a time, folks.
Yes, exactly. One at a time. We're covering them exactly the same way with, you know, the same sort of jaundice eye that I now bring to this.
Wait a minute. I thought you were supposed to be completely unbiased.
Yeah, well, my unbiasedness is that I can't stand either of these people, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
There it is.
I'm thinking about running myself. And I'm sure they're lovely individuals.
Sure.
I'm sure they're people who mean – I'm like about 40% of America who stops and thinks to themselves, oh, my God, what are we going to do?
Yeah,
two choices.
The new poll came out today, and most of America is like, yeah, we're not really happy with either one.
Right.
This is not good.
I think that's, you know, I mean, maybe it's over 50%. I mean, that would be smart. So we'll cover it. Sort of warts and all from here, warts and all from Philadelphia. And then, you know, once we get back, we'll try to figure out what do we know about either of these people.
Well, hopefully you can make some sense out of it, Ro. I know I am not having much luck with it. But listen, I appreciate you taking some time tonight. Everybody will be listening from 3 to 7 all week. You and Anna and Jeff and Brian, the whole RoCon show, doing a wonderful job. So have fun in Cleveland. Get to the flats. I hear it's wonderful down there.
Yes. Well, we're very busy just trying to not get arrested.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right, Ro, take care. That's Ro Khan. Listen to him tomorrow and all week from the Republican National Convention from 3 to 7 right here on 720 WGN. All right, when we come back, I mentioned at the top of the show that I wanted to hear from you because the incidents in Baton Rouge threw me again for a loop. It's been one of those days where, you know me, you've listened to this show. We're trying to have some fun, and yet the real world keeps infringing on our fun in the most horrible, horrible, and tragic ways. And it affected me today, and I'm wondering if it affected you. So how did another police shooting affect you? How do you think we can stop this? And do you think we can stop it? So a lot of questions, but I want to hear from you. Feel free to just, share what's going on in your head right now. 312-981-7200. We'll get to that after this on WGN. Thanks again to Ro for checking in from the Republican National Convention. Brian Noonan in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, where people are dancing to Dave Matthews. Oh, we're like a nonstop information dance party here on the Big 720. All right, that's enough, folks. No more dancing. Listen, I know they're very upset. We have to pay after I play. I can only play the music for a few seconds, then we have to pay for it. And, you know, as much as I would love to entertain the masses for a dance party, I don't have that kind of money. But thank you for dropping by. All right, now back to the serious matters at hand. Again, three police officers killed in Baton Rouge, two more injured, one in critical condition. No further update on his condition at this time. So I got up today and I hear this and I'm like, oh, another like you. See, my feelings aren't that much different than yours. I'm sure you were as shocked and saddened by this as I was. And if you're a police officer or related to a police officer, it had to hit you twice as hard. Because as I mentioned earlier, I don't know how these men and women, I don't have that level of bravery to know that, okay, I've got to put on this uniform and go out and do my job, which is stressful, and know that at any moment, you know, every day they go out, they wonder if they're going to come home. And now you've got two incidents in a couple weeks where police officers have been targeted. And I know we've got a lot going on and there's a lot of tension, but it hit me hard today. And the more news that came out and the more reports I read, it just got harder and harder to try to focus on anything else. And I knew I wasn't alone. So I wanted to open it up and give you a chance to kind of talk about what you've been feeling over the last couple weeks, culminating in another senseless shooting of law enforcement in Baton Rouge. You had the two shootings by police. Then you had Dallas with five police officers killed. Now you have Baton Rouge. Tensions are high. The Chicago Police Department, as I mentioned, has extended their policy of having officers work in pairs now. So there's a lot going on. But let me give you a chance to jump in. 312-981-7200. Art's been holding on. Hi, Art. You're on WGN.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I don't mean to be harsh when I say this, but you're right. Shootings in Baton Rouge, shootings in Dallas, shootings in almost every city that we face. And it's just not against police officers. Believe me, I believe all lives matter, whether they're Muslim, Mexican, Black, Puerto Rican, it doesn't matter. Every life matters. But the way you want to stop this is you have to punish them severely so they understand that we cannot tolerate this.
Well, the perpetrator the shooter in Dallas was blown up. The shooter in Baton Rouge was killed. They've been punished.
Okay,
so
great.
You know, I know. Oh no, I've got no problem with either one of those those statements.
What happens to the shooter that commits a violent crime? Not so much against the police officer, but just a violent crime, whether it be an armed robbery or whether it be a rape or a murder or whatever, and he doesn't get killed. I sincerely believe that he should be put on national television and have his hand chopped off with a machete to show the American public that we mean business.
All right, Art, that is extreme. I appreciate the call. Listen, look at this, two Arts in a row. What are the odds? Hello, Art.
Hey, good evening. I'm a little bit nervous that I think this is going to get worse before it gets better. And I think the target is going to move from the people in blue uniform to normal citizens. I don't want to mention their names, but this happened in Baltimore, D.C. Mm-hmm. And if people don't get wraps on this, this is going to get out of control.
It's, you know what, and Art, I hate to say I agree with you, but I worry that that could also be the case. You know, I know we will come out on the other side of this. I have to believe that. But between where we are now and the other side, I think things are going to get pretty hairy. And I'm not wishing that on anyone. I definitely don't want to see any more people killed on either side. But this is insane. Thank you for the call. Yeah, it's one of those things. Roger, as a news guy, this has got to be unbelievably frustrating. But as a news guy, you expect this, right? If there's not bad news, what do you guys have to do?
Well, again, I go really? Back to my classes that I used to teach. News, by its definition, is mainly things out of the ordinary. And all of this is things out of the ordinary. In other words, life should not include these types of incidents. We know they happen, but that's why they're news, and when they're news every day, then it becomes something more than just news. It becomes something that affects an entire nation.
Yeah.
It's not something like, oh, yeah, a police officer was killed in Baton Rouge. I live in Seattle, Washington, and, yeah, that's down there. I'm over here. No, yeah, not
no,
anymore.
It's not, no, it's yeah. You're exactly right. Now it's, you know, yeah, first it was Dallas. Now
right.
It's Baton Rouge. Then there was a police shooting in Baton Rouge, police shooting in Minnesota, opposite mm-hmm. ends of the country. We've had police shootings East Coast, police shootings right here in
There's
Chicago.
There's one in Milwaukee.
But to say, listen, we've got, you know, there has to be something that says you can't just shoot at law enforcement, because as much as you support law enforcement, and I mm-hmm. do, and even when you ask, part of supporting something is wanting them to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the police department here, and I want police departments around the country to always be the best. So sometimes that means asking tough questions about what they're doing. That doesn't mean you don't support them. But let's be honest. If they weren't out there, as bad as it is now with the police out there, for people who are like, oh, the police don't do it, imagine what it would be like if the police weren't there. And for everybody who complains about the police, even in these shootings, you watch and everybody has mentioned this. You watch any of the videos of the shootings in Dallas or anywhere else. Everybody's running away, but the police, because it's their job,
mm-hmm.
and it's a horrible job.
Right.
They're running toward the shooters. They're, you know, when it came down to protecting citizens, they didn't care who was there. They were jumping on anybody to protect them. So they're doing a job most of us would never want to do. And they deal with people at their worst. We're stopped for a ticket, so we know we've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're dealing with someone who's been in an accident or been a victim of a crime or committed crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So we need them out there.
What profession do you know, other than possibly firefighter, where when the officer leaves their family to go for their shift, the family, no matter how they're used to it, wonders
always
if that
wonders.
Person's coming back home alive.
Yeah, military personnel,
right?
Police officers, firefighters. You know, you could get into some other. Those are the three main ones.
Right.
You could say, you know, a high iron worker, something like. Sure, there's danger. You know, they say what's the most dangerous profession is like crab mm-hmm. fishermen or something. So there's other professions, but for the most part,
right.
You know. Those are the three where yeah. we immediately go, yeah, that would be, I don't know how you do that. My grandfather was a Chicago cop. I don't know mm-hmm. how my grandmother and my mom and her sisters, you know, every day just
right.
wondered, yeah, what's going on? And the millions of police officers and their families around the country now watching this and having to go, okay, I've sworn to do this job. I'm going to go out and do it. And, you know, let's hope that we can start talking and try to bridge this. All right. We got to do this. We'll take a little break. Then it's news time. Then we're going to lighten up a little bit, because I got to be honest. I need to lighten things up a little bit. But this may scare you. I want to hear your hotel horror stories, and I will tell you why. I know, Roger, you're already making a face, but this is going to be fun. I want a Dave Savini black light in here.
Uh-oh.
I want people. Yeah, I want to know what's going on. Up there, we're late. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Karen Conti will be here in an hour. She'll be answering your legal questions. Do you have legal questions? Of course you do. We are all embroiled in some sort of legal kerfuffle. I have, oh man, if I had a dollar for every lawsuit I'm involved in, I would have no dollars. I am thankfully lawsuit free, but you never know. I always figure at the end of each show there could be a litany of lawsuits coming my way. You never can tell. You never can tell.
But you'll get your lawyers right on it right away. Listen, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe?
Yes, I have a staff. I have people on retainer. I have, oh my goodness, there's so much I have going. None of it is true. Are you, when you check into a hotel, do you look around and make sure that everything is clean? Do you move the nightstand to see if they've cleaned? Do you just trust because you're paying always an exorbitant amount of money for any hotel room, which I can never justify. Like a lot of people, I know family members and friends of mine who will only stay at like top tier hotels and they'll drop $300-500 a night on a room that they're only in for a little bit. I am poor. And I also would rather, to be honest, I would rather take that money and spend it on experiences. So if I'm on vacation, I'll try to find I'm not staying at a crack hotel. I'm staying at a decent hotel, but I'm trying to find the most reasonably priced hotel. And I go in, and even at that price, I am hopeful that the staff has done their job. Now, I'll be honest. I would not want to be a hotel housekeeper. I can only imagine the horror show that they encounter on a daily basis. You know, I try to leave a hotel room fairly clean. If I have garbage, I put it in the can. And let's be honest. Those trash cans in hotels are way too small. Plus, the bags never open. So you try throwing something in the trash can, and it lays on top because the bag... I know it's a hard job. Take a second, blow the bag a little bit. Pop the bag so that it's open. So that when I go to throw a Q-tip or whatever, God knows what I may be throwing away in a hotel room, a finger, it doesn't matter. I want the bag to be open so that it can go right in the can. So I try to be neat, you know? I don't leave stuff laying around. I try to put the towels all in a pile because I realize if somebody's coming in to clean up after another human being, it's a rough gig. So try to at least make it a little easier. But on the other hand, I expect them to do the job. So I trust that when I come into a room, it has been cleaned. I saw this story and it made me a little bit nauseous, to say the least. Now, it's not graphic, so don't worry. If you're eating dinner, you can still hear this story. Maybe your gag reflex is much more delicate than mine. A hotel guest got a nasty shock when they pulled back the sheets of their bed. Hiding among the sheets was a disturbing message from the previous inhabitant. A note was scrawled on the hotel stationery. And I won't name the hotel, because that could lead to a lawsuit, which I've already indicated I do not want to deal with. So it's a major chain. I'll say that this is not, again, some, you know, Bob's Roadside Bates Hotel. This is a chain, and I have frequented this chain and always had a good experience. But it was on their paper, and it read, "If you're reading this, then housekeeping did not change your sheets." After realizing that the cleaners hadn't found the note before him, the disgusted guest posted a picture of the letter online. He explained, "Heard something crinkle when I settled in for the night." Since it was posted to Reddit, hundreds of internet users have responded to the filthy revelation. One commenter said, "I'm definitely going to start putting these notes in my hotel beds when I check out." Another said, "I'm going to add, thanks for changing the sheets. Your hard work is appreciated." And somebody else shared one of their experiences. "I walked into a hotel room once with an unmade bed, a half-drank case of Busch beer." Oh, you know, the previous occupants were high line then. "Damp towels everywhere, and the TV was on. It wasn't even the wrong room, and it was booked. Housekeeping just didn't go in that day." I mean, I've had that before where I've gone to check in, and the desk thinks the room has been cleaned, and you go, it looks like a homicide. You go, no, this, you go back to the desk. Oh, I'm sorry, housekeeping didn't get that. Let me put you in another room. But we've all had these experiences. Share yours. 312-981-7200. The most shocking thing you found when you've checked into a hotel. And if it's an ongoing criminal case, don't comment on it. I don't want to get sucked into your testimony. But feel free to jump in. Roger, you're shaking your head.
Couple of them.
All right, give me one.
Trip to Italy in Rome.
Oh, fancy.
A hotel recommended. It looked like university campus housing converted into. Right, so it was like, you know, several different buildings, four floors on each, no elevator.
Okay.
And, of course, on the fourth floor.
Sure.
We walked into the bathroom. There were busted tiles all over, inward. So there were holes.
So somebody had been punching or kicking at the walls?
Or they just fell apart.
All right.
Seriously, it didn't look like a punch or a kick. They just fell apart. Mold all over the place. The sheets were scratchy. And no, they were not of that type of fabric. They were supposed to be linen. Uh-huh. And they were scratchy. Air conditioner didn't condition anything. And it was very hot in Rome at the time.
That's the biggest complaint. I think most people have had that, where the air conditioner doesn't work in their room. And then you have to call and wait for maintenance to come up, and it's always a, you know, it's always some, you're waiting and some guy comes up and he's not a heating and AC guy.
No.
Yeah, he just takes a cover off and looks at
it.
He
changes light bulbs.
He turns it on and off a couple times and all right.
We'll have to call a guy.
We'll have to check, check on that. We'll see about it. Okay. And then I'm always like, well, do I tip this guy?
Oh, no. They're doing their job.
I know, but they came to my room.
Especially if they didn't fix it.
And he's seen my stuff. So,
oh, they've seen your stuff.
Right. And not that I'm not traveling with gold bullion, but, you know, I want to slip the guy something.
Yeah.
It's like if you ask for clean towels and they bring you up extra towels. You got to throw them a couple bucks.
Yeah, that you got to do. Sure. Right. When you ask for something more than what you're expected to be.
The AC guy doesn't want to do it?
No.
All right.
No,
so the Italian hotel room was not good.
No, they didn't even send anyone.
No, they didn't understand you.
Had another one on a trip back from Massachusetts several years ago, water leaking all over the place.
Ugh.
All over the place, and no towels in and everything. Nice. We called for another room, and the guy had no clue. Seriously.
Well, it's funny, if you check in late, you're getting the skeleton crew, the late night crew that doesn't really know what's going on. 312-981-7200, if you're on the line, hang on, we will hear your stories of the most unusual or horrifying things that you've found in your hotel room. On the other side, it's 720 WGN. All right, we're talking about the most horrifying, unusual, terrifying, filthy thing you found in hotel rooms. This because a letter was left between the sheets that said, if you found this, that means housekeeping didn't change your sheets. Texter Aaron says, I bring alcohol and wipe down everything. We bring our own pillows, and I try not to touch anything. We stay at hotels hoping they do better cleaning. We always read reviews before staying anywhere. Yeah, so do I. Sometimes the reviews don't help. 312-981-7200 is how you get a hold of us. Susie is waiting. Hi, Susie. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you.
Sure. What's your horror story?
Well, we do a lot of traveling to a place we have down a couple states away, and so we'll stop someplace halfway.
Okay.
So we don't want to spend a lot of money. Well, I think we're changing our tune now. the last two times we've done this, and we do this like four times a year. So the last two times we've just had really bad luck. Like no hot water in the morning. You know, when you're getting up at 5 a.m. to hit the road,
right,
you need a shower.
Yeah.
But this last time we were at one of the really low-end major chains. The bed was so comfortable. I'll say that. But we had to get extra pillows because they were flatter than a pancake.
Yeah.
And we couldn't plug in our devices anywhere. They didn't have enough outlets in the room for what they actually had in the room. So, like, we had to unplug the microwave so that we could plug in the nightstand light so we could read.
Listen, you can either cook or you can read. What do you want to do, Susie?
Right. I mean, it was gosh, if we needed to plug in, you know, our laptop or something, I don't know how that was going to happen. So I think we're going to move to the next.
Well, listen, yeah, you get what you pay for, but you would hope there'd be enough electricity in the room.
Yeah, isn't that something? It was just crazy.
I don't know what kind of highfalutin place you want to stay, Susie, but you want to plug things in. It's, well, good luck. That's all I can say. Good luck to you. Take care.
You.
Thanks for the call. Sheila, hi.
Hi.
So what'd you find?
I was traveling with my equestrian team in college, and so we were all, like, gross and grimy after a long day at a horse show, you know, like, smelly and icky. And I get in the shower, and there's long, like, obviously somebody's long hairs are, like, stuck to the wall and the top. But they were, like, multiple people's hairs. So, like, I don't notice until after I'm in there showering. But I don't think that thing had gotten clean for a while.
Oh, that's horrifying. That's, yeah, and you're in there, and you're vulnerable. You're all soapy.
Yeah, so I didn't want to touch anything. I was almost, like, feeling like I was getting dirtier while I was trying to get cleaner.
That's horrifying. Thanks, Sheila.
Yep.
the only shower one I have is, we had saved up. We had gone to Hawaii. This was, it was a long time ago we went to Hawaii. We were still living in California at the time. So, and we had read reviews. We had picked this nice hotel right on the beach, and you know, we traveled all day and we had a layover. By the time we get there, it's late, like 11 o'clock, maybe almost midnight. And first thing, we grab something to eat, and then we get our room and go in. And I know sometimes on a beachfront hotel, there may be a little sand here or there, but in the tub, it wasn't sand. It was like chunks of rock and concrete. If I'm thinking to myself, boy, if the beaches are this rough, we picked the wrong place to stay. But it was the whole bottom of the tub was covered in big chunks of rock. And I looked, they hadn't fallen. So we call. And now it's after midnight. And we're like, hey, we're going to need another room. And they're like, well, do you want us to try to find one now? We're like, nope, we're going to sleep right now. And at that point, I didn't care. There could have been a lizard under the bed. Didn't matter to me. I was going to sleep. I said, but first thing in the morning, I want a new room. Okay, just come down to the desk. And to their credit, they moved us, and everything was fine after that. I'll let other people share, too. This is probably my favorite. This is my favorite. It's a texter from Tom. Checking into a room, opening one of the drawers, and there was a gun there that the staff on the other side of the news will have, in the next half hour, we'll have Naked News. And I traveled back in time last night. Oh, it was fun. I'm glad I got back. So all of that on the other side. It is now 7:30 on 720 WGN. That means it's news time. This report is sponsored by ExecutiveGreenCarpetCleaning.com. Here's Roger Badish. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Karen Conti will be here after 8 o'clock. She'll be answering your legal questions. Start formulating them now and get them in as soon as you can. Well, after 8 o'clock. Don't call now with them because I can't answer them. All right, I know this is technically bad radio. If you're a radio manager, you go, oh, don't revisit something you already finished. But there are a couple of these texts about hotel experiences I have to share. One was on the Facebook page. You can always go to the Facebook page as well. It's Brian Noonan Show, Facebook and Twitter. Last month, I reserved a room at a Days Inn in Tennessee. I always check for bed bugs. This place not only had a husk from a bed bug, but hair and unidentifiable crud between the bed and the wall. I hate seeing unidentifiable crud, which is a great name for a band. I think they were at Pitchfork this week, weren't they? Joey, Unidentifiable Crud?
That sounds about right.
They came on after Brian Wilson, didn't they, on Saturday? I think that's right. I may be off. Let's see. When I told the person in the lobby, he said, okay, and refunded my money. Totally unsurprised. Totally unsurprised.
And someone also called that they went into an old-fashioned, what they called, hotel and wanted to give that as the justification, but there were mushrooms growing in the bathroom when they arrived.
What? Mushrooms growing in the bathroom? Ugh. Somebody wanted to know why I danced around the male balloons, because it's dinner time and family time, and it's early. If we were overnight, I would have said it, and I probably would have gotten more graphic. But you change delivery for the time of day. Sometimes.
I know. I got to clean up now on your show. I'm used to 2 to 5.
Right. When I was on overnights, Roger, you remember.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have said male balloon. I would have made the sound effect. I would have I would have Howie Mandel'd it over my head. I would have done all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, you would have brought in a character.
One of the characters would have put one on and would have told how it got used and why it was in an ice bucket. It would have been a whole big play, whole scenario. Mm-hmm. It's Sunday evening.
Yeah,
that stuff is for, you know, that's why Saturday Night Live is on at 10:30.
Right.
Not at 6.
No.
So, you know, you change it up
and
a little bit.
And it's Sunday. Come on.
Checked into a well-known hotel in Vegas. Room did not seem great, but okay. Until 3 a.m. when the construction jackhammers started outside our room window. Front desk said union workers start early due to the heat. They upgraded us to a better room than what our friends, the bride and groom, had. Well, that I understand. I understand construction workers in Vegas and in the desert starting early, but tell the people when they're checking in. Because back in the day when I was on the road doing stand-up, I would stay in whatever hotel they put me in. That was kind of the... You rolled the dice. And a lot of times I would stay out after the show and imbibe because I was staying at a horrible hotel in some rinky-dink town. So I would have a couple beverages and figure, well, I didn't have to get to the next place for a while, or I was staying, so I could probably sleep a little later. Unbeknownst to me, and this was a hotel in northern Florida, I went to bed and I really needed to sleep, let's say. Because I had had a few cocktails. And at 6:30, they started. I think they were looking for the Tomb of the Unknowns or the Lost Ark or something. There was some archaeological dig going on in the hall. And because the rooms all back up to each other, so the room behind me, they were banging away. And I'm like, oh, no, please. It was almost as loud as the banging that was going on in my head anyway. So now it's amplified by two. Just horrific. And then there, you know. So that was fun. Thank you for sharing your stories. All right, let's since we started on something else, I'll get to Naked News in a minute. But last night, Roger, you will love this. Last night, I traveled back in time. This is right up the alley of old man music history.
Oh,
last night I sat at Brookfield Zoo and I watched the Ides of March.
No way!
Yes,
that's great.
I saw them in the black sedan. I jumped inside the car. It was the whole big thing.
Were you a dirty hippie then? Did you suddenly become one of your dirty hippies?
No, I was judging everyone. No, the only dirty hippie was a stilt walker. Because I gotta say, if you haven't been to Brookfield Zoo in a while, they're doing this summer nights thing on Fridays and Saturdays where they have from 4 to 9. So they have one band on from like 4 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a little kids kind of show off to the side. And then they have another band from 7 to 9. And they have a huge stage set up over by the dolphin show. There's that big open area and a beer garden and all kinds of things. So it's wonderful. And we've gone, we actually went Friday too. Because we got nothing to do, and the zoo is like 3 minutes from the house.
Oh, that's great.
So we became members of the zoo because I like to, you know, I'm a patron of the arts. And by arts, I mean the Moldorama. That's the art that I like to be a patron of. Moldorama. I take my four quarters. I make myself a rhinoceros. I go, woohoo! I'm a patron of the arts. But anyway, so Friday night we went, and it was a Beatles tribute band, American English. They're very nice.
Oh, they're supposed to be great.
They were phenomenal.
Wonderful.
It was great. So, and the nice thing is you can bring in coolers and your chairs and, you know, you smuggle in whatever you want to bring in and, you know, even though you follow the rules.
Smuggle.
Yeah, whatever. I'll follow the rules till you. I'll follow the rules if you catch me.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
How it is. And now I've just blown my cover. So next week the zoo cops are going to be watching for me.
Yeah.
Where's that Noonan guy? He's coming in.
They've got the tigers on the leash. That's what sets them apart from other concert police.
They inspire fear. I don't mess around. It's not like the old days when Andy Frains would come up in a tuxedo with the little hat and the white gloves.
Mm-hmm.
No, when you got guys walking around with big cats, whether it's a tiger, a leopard, panther, cheetah. What other big cats are there? Lynx? That's more of a little creepy, like, oh, my God, he drives a van way. Just in a way that says, these kids don't care. They're so young, they haven't gotten to the point where they're worried what somebody else thinks about them.
Mm-hmm.
They I have to protect my image. What if my friend Snapchats me dancing like an idiot? Nobody cares about that. These kids were dancing like their lives depended on it. And it, for a moment, Roger, a brief moment.
Mm-hmm.
I felt happy.
Aww.
And it was weird. Uncomfortable.
Yeah? Did you have to go to the bathroom after that?
No, that would have been now that's creepy. I watched some kids dance and then I had to go to the bathroom.
Well, no, because you felt happy. About? This wave of happiness came over you.
It did it, and then you said, "Washed over me." Washed over me.
Maybe it wasn't actually happy. Maybe it was what you ate.
A squirrel. After that, I punched a squirrel. I couldn't have it anymore. I didn't want anything to do with it. I will say this: two things made me laugh more than toddlers dancing.
What?
One was, and I know I'm not bashing because I loved the show last night. Loved the Ides of March. They were great, and they did songs from 38 Special, and I was probably one of the few people who could not wait to hear Rockin' Into the Night by 38 Special. Joey, do you even know who 38 Special is? Oh, man, that's sad. Look it up. That's your homework. I want them booked for next week. I couldn't wait for that. I wanted, some Survivor songs. They did that. And Jim Peterik earlier in the night had said he was talking about a song they were going to do from Rocky IV, and everybody started losing their minds because they thought it was going to be Eye of the Tiger. And he went, no, I'm going to do Eye of the Tiger later. And in my mind, I went, of course you are. You're going to save that and vehicle for the end.
He's a master showman.
Sure. Anybody who's going to see them knows that's going to happen.
Right.
So they do. They end their regular set with vehicle. The place is going wild. Then they start coming out for the encore. And all of a sudden, what walks up on stage but a guy in a tiger suit? And I'm like, they are not bringing out a tiger to dance for Eye of the Tiger. And they did. And it was awkward and hilarious and wonderful all at the same time. Because it's kind of ratty, it didn't make the Stiltwalker's suit look better, but it was not your top-of-the-line tiger suit, let's just say. It was passable. I knew it was a tiger. I wasn't afraid of it by any stretch of the imagination. That tiger did not scare me at all.
But there were kids there. You couldn't have a tiger, someone in a tiger suit scaring the kids.
If you're bringing a tiger out to dance to Eye of the Tiger when you're singing about the thrill of the fight and rising up to the challenge of your rivals, you better have a tiger that looks like it was going to rise up to the challenge of its rivals. This tiger looked like it was going to roll over and expose its belly and go, you know what? I give up. If I'm endangered, so be it. Go ahead. I want nothing more to do with this life. My life, I finally got free, and now I'm dancing on stage with the Ides of March. So they go into this extended version of Eye of the Tiger, which was great. Jim Peterik's down walking through the crowd, jamming.
Wow.
The guitar players are up there. They do it. It was phenomenal. And yet, I could not take my eyes off this tiger that looked like it had mange. And it was kind of dancing, kind of not, kind of going, I didn't know they were going to do a jam session. I didn't know this was a fish show. I thought it was going to be the 3-minute radio version of Eye of the Tiger, and I was going to be gone.
Right.
But no, it kept dancing, and I can only imagine it's hot in a multi-tiger suit.
I can imagine, sure.
But whatever. He did it. So that made me, again, happy. And then the thing that made me laugh the hardest, and I don't know why this struck me so much, and I understand bands selling merchandise. I think that's capitalism, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So the place is going nuts now. Woo, the tiger is rolling around. Everybody's on stage. And good night, we're the Ides of March. We'll see you at the merchandise tent.
What?
And I was like, wow. That's a change. Usually bands can't wait to get away. And I know they want to mingle because they have a lot of friends there and fans. But it just struck me as an odd phrasing.
We'll see you at
the merchandise tent. Okay.
That's not something you hear if you see a band like that at, say, Ravinia.
When I saw Def Leppard a couple weeks ago at Tinley, and yes, Joey, I go to the big shows. That's right. I see the big bands. He's very nervous, Roger, that I'm not taking a break. I will take a break momentarily.
Okay.
As soon as I finish this. Def Leppard did not say, we're Def Leppard, y'all. And I don't know why they would say y'all in a British accent. That was horrifying. We'll see you over at the merchandise tent. They did come out and say, don't forget us and we won't forget you, which I thought was pathetic.
Oh, my God.
But, again, that was Def Leppard, not the Ides of March. So there you go. It was a fun night at the zoo. Maybe I'll see you there. And who knows?
That's great.
As long as the zoo cops don't throw me out for what I may or may not have in my cooler, we'll all have a wonderful
time. What's coming up next week? Is it another weekend?
Oh, there. Yeah, it goes for a couple more weekends.
Okay.
So I'll be there Friday night, I'm sure.
I expect to have another report.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Oh, no, Friday night is Hall & Oates. I'm all about the music.
Wait a minute, Hall &
Oates? Hold on, I got to take the break. Joey's going to have a conniption. He's out of his mind. First week here, and he doesn't get it. He doesn't get that I have absolutely no regard for the clock or the format. I don't care. Now the boss is like, oh, you don't care, huh? Well, we'll see about that, smarty. Here we go, 38 special. Bring it to Joey. Nice to hear. How do you not know this song? Because you're in your 20s. That's why. Oh, no, that's not it. Is it? No, that's not it. I thought it was the beginning. My ear is bad. All right, Karen Conti's coming up after the news. Roger, you got all excited when I said something about Hall & Oates.
Yes, I do. I love Hall & Oates.
I saw Hall & Oates at Southern Illinois back in, let's say, 84, because you can't check my facts on that.
Right.
So I saw them in 84, and now I'm seeing them again in 2016.
Wow.
The first time I saw them, I only wanted them to play one song only. Can you guess which song that would be?
Sarah Smile.
Yes. Did they play Sarah Smile?
No.
No, of course not. I've waited. The pain has been broiling inside me for now 32 years.
Wow.
I'm giving them another chance.
Okay.
I have finally allowed myself to put the anger aside because you know I hold a grudge. I've held a grudge against Hall & Oates for 32 years. Now, I don't pretend to think that Daryl Hall nor John Oates are listening to this broadcast.
True.
They may listen to the web-only podcast, which we will be posting again.
Right.
Or they may pick up something. You can listen to the whole show. Joey will post that as well on WGNRadio.com. I don't think they're listening, but maybe one of their people are listening. Maybe someone with some sort of connection to the Hall & Oates family.
Right.
Has their ear to the radio.
Maybe.
Maybe. Probably not. If at this point,
yes,
they do not play Sarah Smile on
mm-hmm.
Friday,
mm-hmm.
and I have to wait until I am well into my late 80s
mm-hmm.
to see them again, if in fact they would still be alive at that point, I don't have that kind of time to hold another 32-year grudge.
No.
I need Hall & Oates to uncork Sarah Smile, all like 2 minutes and 32 seconds of it,
yeah,
and unleash it on me on Friday.
This is my prediction.
Yeah.
All right.
They're gonna
preview a new album, a bunch of new songs,
no.
and Sarah Smile is going to be one of like 15 seconds within a compilation of their greatest hits.
They are not going to do
that. They're going to do for like 60 seconds.
No, they can't do a medley. If they do a medley, I'm setting the place on fire. Then you better have at that point amphitheater cops with tigers to come and shut me
Real
down.
Real tigers.
Now I don't know if the threat I just made is actionable. I don't know if
they're going to have to ask Karen.
We're
going
to have to ask Karen. Listen, I think Brian just threatened to burn down an amphitheater if a song is not played. Now, I don't have the means to burn down an entire amphitheater,
no.
nor the desire. Let's be honest.
Too much.
But
work.
My rage burns hot enough to actually set a structure on fire. And if I have to direct that rage one more time at Hall & Oates, I'm not afraid to do it. So. Let's get the word out. Know what? Hall & Oates may not be listening, but somebody at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater is listening.
Okay.
Somebody who works in Tinley is listening. And they you better
be.
Get the word to Hall and or Oates.
or one of their close representatives.
Listen, I will settle for it being played over the PA system
Ooh.
Prior to the concert.
Do you want the Muzak version?
No.
Or it's got to be the original?
Sure. They're not going to allow the original to be played before they... And then you go... Man, they sounded really good back then. What happened to these guys? What in God's name happened to them?
Oh,
I can't. I don't know. But it's been 32 years. I've been mad at Hall & Oates longer than Joey's been alive.
That's
what do you
a
think
long
of that?
Time.
So think
That's
about
impressive.
It. Thank you. I can hold a grudge. I'm not above holding a grudge. I could take this one to my grave.
Uh-oh, here goes.
Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Joey. Now
you know why this is so special to us.
Why?
To Bridget and I.
Because?
Because this was like one of the top songs when Sarah was born,
when you
our daughter.
Made your baby?
Yeah, yeah.
when you got your groove on?
Yes.
When you put a little swerve in your verve?
Mm-hmm. Except my wife decided to add an H to the end.
Yeah, this one is just S-A-R-A.
You're right, right.
And I never, the thing is, you might be thinking, well, did you ever date a girl named Sarah? Were you involved with a girl named Sarah? Is that why this song means so much to you? No, I'm just a sap.
That's right.
And I, you know, she warms me. And Roger, when I feel I can't go on.
Yes.
You come at Maybe they can't get this high anymore. That's why.
But you can. Doing.
Oh, I can. I got falsetto pipes, Joey.
Yeah.
You don't know. You haven't been here long enough. Just wait. By the fourth week, you'll be going, oh, man, if he sings again, I am going to set this place on fire. Again, actionable or not. So there you go. That's what's happening. We didn't get to Naked News. Will we get to it next week? Who knows? You know we don't plan things as we go. We will have the podcast, and after the news, we will have Karen Conti. So right now, if you are thinking, oh, I have a legal problem, formulate your question. When Roger starts the news, listen to Roger with one ear, and then start getting your calls in, 312-981-7200, and Karen will be answering your legal questions on the other side of the news. That sounds easy, doesn't it? All right. We also have some big legal stories to talk about and a lot to get to in the final hour of the big show. But right now, look at this, Joey. We're on time. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. The news is sponsored by TimeshareExitTeam.com. 8 o'clock, Roger Badish.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Oh, it's after 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. You know what that means. Karen Conti comes in to join me, and she is helping you out, answering your legal questions. 312-981-7200. That's the phone. That's the text. That's how you avail yourself of Karen's help. Don't wait until the end, because then you will go away with nothing. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very bothered by that. That's right in front of your face. I can't see you.
Yes, I know. Too much technology.
I like to make
Brian.
Eye contact when I'm getting legal
That's
advice.
That's right. You know, and you're rolling your eyes and sticking your tongue out at me.
But tonight I'm very intimidated. You brought an entire cadre of lawyers. I know that sometimes I say things that are inappropriate, but I figured you could handle them legally yourself. You didn't have to bring an entire team with you.
Well, I had my office staff to my house in Wisconsin, and we cooked and did some stuff and had some fun, and so I said, why don't you come to the radio show and see where the real fun is?
And then where is the real fun? Show me.
I can't see a thing back here. It's like a bad concert.
Yeah, Joey's all blocked. You've got everybody sitting up there. Now, are they charging by the hour to be here?
No, they aren't. They're in a learning process. They're seeing what prompts all of those WGN callers who call in Monday morning with questions about everything.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because they have to answer the
That's
phone.
That's right. They have to answer the phone.
Karen, we keep because people wait too long and they don't call in here at 312-981-7200. Okay, so there's a lot of things going on legally. Let's start with the Republican convention is a big thing.
Yes.
Now, I was talking to Roe earlier. He's out there. He'll be broadcasting all week. And we know that Ohio is a carry state. Everybody can carry. Doesn't matter where. You can carry to church, carry to the store. You can carry to the convention. Now, there's been some talk that perhaps there was a way to, for security reasons, to say, okay, we're going to suspend that right in Cleveland for this week around the convention area. Is there any way that that can be done?
Well, I think there is. I think some pundits are saying no, because it's a constitutional right in Ohio, and it's a constitutional right in that area. But I do think that the government can take precaution when there are circumstances that are unusual. And the state power is very, very strong, and you can actually suspend certain rights. And we've seen this all the time when there are epidemics and you have people that have to be quarantined. These are the types of things that the government has a right to maybe infringe a little bit on our constitutional rights for the benefit of all.
That doesn't fall under like martial law, correct?
Not really, but they could declare martial law. I don't think they're going to do that.
Right.
I don't think it rises to that level. And the other thing they could do is just to say they're going to do it and let the constitutional people sue on the other end. Basically just make the rule and then, wait for the people to bring lawsuits.
Well, I don't... Because to me, you've got the Secret Service, you've got local law enforcement, state law enforcement, all these other people in a very tight area. Security at these conventions is always heightened. And now, because of your law, people are walking through the security lines with weapon.
Well, and that to me is a little intimidating, because you don't know who the good guys and who the bad guys are.
Right.
And the rules apparently are a little strange in that you can't carry umbrellas, but you can carry a handgun. You can't carry a long gun, but you can carry a handgun. So, I certainly don't want to be in Cleveland
right.
or anywhere near that place. But, you know, hopefully things will go without a glitch.
Yeah, and it's not – I'm not saying take the right away, you know, after this week. I'm just wondering in the vicinity of the convention to say, you know, within – this perimeter you cannot carry. I think that would make sense, and I don't know
sense,
how people would.
I would imagine the gun activist would say, "Well, that's a slippery slope." You know, then when do we say that no guns can be carried? Is it, you know, if there's a holiday, if there's a 9/11? You know, do we change the rules based upon the day of the week? And I think that's probably the argument you're going to get on the other side.
There's always an argument
there's
on the other
always
side.
Always an argument on the other side.
You know who likes to argue, don't you? The presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump.
Yes,
was arguing with Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I have to say I kind of liked watching this.
I had never in my recollection heard a Supreme Court justice make personal attacks on someone, a civilian or political candidate. But this seemed out of character. She later apologized. Judges are citizens. They have a right to speak, right? But is there a line that, especially a Supreme Court justice, where you say, probably shouldn't.
Judges shouldn't do that. That was wrong. I think that everyone agrees that it was wrong, whether they agree with the content
with
of what
she
said or not. Yeah. And it was kind of interesting to see an 82-year-old woman kind of shoot off her mouth. But
saucy.
Saucy. Yeah, she was. But the rule is that you have to avoid the appearance of impropriety. And listen, I mean, there is a very slim chance. Let's say the election has hanging chads or something like that, for those of you
right.
who remember what that was. And let's just say it ends up going to the Supreme Court. Who knew it was going to happen? With Bush and Gore.
Exactly.
And then she has to be one of the people who decides whether or not who wins the election. Now, of course, she'd have to recuse herself. Recuse meaning she would have to step down and say, I've already taken positions. Everyone knows I can't stand this man. And of course, I'm going to not vote for him. And that, you know, it's going to make it look, even if she thinks she can be impartial, it's going to look like she can't be.
Right.
So not just that, you know, because that's kind of a what if and way out there.
Sure.
But I think that we just don't want our judges to be politicized because we want to think that the decisions that they make, and listen, they're not political eunuchs. I mean, they have thoughts and they have backgrounds and they have voted. You know, it's not like they're barred from voting, but they shouldn't be making loud statements about what their political beliefs are, because then people could say, well, you're making decisions not based on the law, not based on the facts of the case, but based on what you believe.
Right.
And that makes the process look not as fair as it should be.
Yeah. And her apology, did you think it was genuine? Or
no.
You think it was, yeah, the other justices went, you got to say something.
I think the toothpaste was out of the tube by the time she said what she said.
I always chastise people for waiting too long to call, so I want to reward the ones that called early by getting to them early.
All right.
Let's go to the phones. 312-981-7200. That's how you call. That's how you text. That's how you get the legal advice from Karen Conti. Paul's been hanging on. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how's everything tonight?
We're great. What's your
Paul?
Question?
I'm down to one original copy of The Power of Attorney for Mom's Financial Stuff and Property, and the FAA wants an original copy or a certified true copy of The Power of Attorney. How do I get a certified true copy of a Power of Attorney in the state of Illinois?
I don't know how you would go about getting a certified copy. Usually certified means you go to the court and you have the court issue a certification. You pay a little bit of money to the clerk's office. I don't know in a power of attorney that you would do that, because those are not forms that generally get filed in court or are court issued. So they're usually, you know, forms that you either get at the hospital, you can get online, or you know, if you have an attorney draft it up. So
an attorney drafted it up. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I would maybe make a call to that attorney or send me a quick email. I can get the
attorney retired and he's out of the country.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't you send me a quick email? I have some lawyers in my office who do this kind of work, and we'll probably be able to give you the answer. But I also want to say that sometimes, you know, you don't want to give up your original documents. But basically, most of the time, in most of the cases, you can use copies of powers of attorney and things like that. You don't want to be caught without an original if someone actually wants an original. But generally speaking, copies are just as good as originals in most situations. But definitely send me an email. If they want something certified, I'll figure out how to do that for you, okay?
And that's kconte at contelaw.com.
Oh, it's close.
It's kconte at kcontelaw.com.
Okay.
All right, Paul. Good luck.
I've been listening for you for a long time to you on Sunday night, and it's always a highlight. I always learn something.
All right.
There you go. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
Okay. He was complimenting me.
I know he was.
Brian. Just by the way, I was taking that compliment personally.
No, I was not.
I usurped your compliment.
You take every compliment you need. I don't. I'm not worried about it. Question from a texter in the 224, which we will get to on the other side. If you have a question for Karen Conti, 312-981-7200. That's how you get a hold of us. Phone, text, it doesn't matter. And you already gave out the email address, but people love to use the phone and they want, listen, now that I've seen your staff, they need to be answering the phone because, you know, kids aren't good with
busy.
The phone. Yeah.
Want them
answering the phone.
You can call at 312-332-7800. Again, kconte at kcontelaw.com.
More with Karen on the other side. It's WGN. Brian Noonan, Karen Conti, WGN. I push the buttons. Karen answers the legal questions. That's how it works. 312-981-7200 is how you get a hold of us. Somebody texted in from the 224. My check is being garnished for non-payment of a school loan. It's killing me financially. Can I get it dismissed or lowered?
You know, it's probably too late to really do something easily. The time to take care of these kinds of things, what happens is you have a student loan, right? Mm-hmm. You're not paying it. They send you a bunch of notices. Then they sue you. Then they get a judgment. Then they have to get that judgment and do things with it, like put a lien on your house, garnish your wages, which means every week a certain amount, a chunk is taken out of the check.
Right.
And then at the end of a certain number of weeks, the money goes to the student loan.
So this
people.
Isn't something that happened overnight.
This did not happen overnight. And once this is in place, it's very hard to get rid of it because they've gone this far. You could have negotiated it, you know. And I understand why people, they, you know, like deer with the headlights and they don't know what to do and they can't pay it. So they're afraid to go to court. But you can try to call the people like, good luck with this, and find out who the lawyer is on the case. The lawyer's name or the collection agency's lawyer's name might be on the documents, and see if you can call and get a reduction. But I think you're probably, you know, going to be out of luck. And the problem with this is that when you have a judgment in Illinois anyway, it's 9% interest that accrues.
Whoa.
So that's a very high interest rate. So you really need to pay this off. I mean, I tell people, you know, if you've got an aunt, you know, who's generous, who's going to loan you some money,
The texter jumped in again and said they were homeless.
Yeah.
So that's why the loan went into
I'm sorry to say, but the student loan people don't care about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things. Taxes are not dischargeable in bankruptcy. Neither are student loans, and neither are child support obligations. So there's certain things you can't get rid of in life, and student loans are one of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, if you're working for wages, there's a certain percentage they can garnish, and they're probably going to do it unless you give them some good reason otherwise, like, I have a chunk of money, I'll pay you $10,000 and if you reduce my garnishment.
Right. All right. Well, good luck with
that.
Yeah,
good luck.
From the 847, a lot of texters tonight at 312-981-7200. A judge has ordered a purge after finding me guilty of civil contempt for not being able to pay a child rep's fees. I cannot afford the purge amount. What can I do? What is going to happen to me when I show up in court in a few weeks on the deadline date?
Ooh,
so
boy.
First, if you can explain to everybody what a purge is and civil contempt and all of that.
So what happens is if the judge enters an order of child support, let's say, that's the simplest case, and let's just say that you don't pay it and you're found to be held in contempt, and you probably have shown to the judge that you had the ability to pay, but you didn't. Otherwise, you wouldn't be held in contempt. So you're already on the judge's you-know-what list, right? So the judge said, listen, I don't want to throw you in jail because your inability to pay is only going to be exacerbated once you're in jail. So on day certain, you have to come to this court and you have to pay a certain amount of money, and that would then purge your contempt, meaning it would erase the contempt, and then you'd be free to go your way. Okay. In this case, it's the child rep fees, which means there must have been a custody battle and there was a representative appointed for the children and he wasn't paying that or she wasn't paying that. So that's what we're talking about. I will tell you right now, you will go to jail probably if you don't pay that money. And you will, if you're in the Cook County area, you might end up at a place where you don't want to be. There's no question that judges will do this. The judge has made a determination that you're willfully violating a court order. It's already done. You can't do anything about that. The only thing that I would say is you go and you borrow some money. Yeah. Whether you go to your favorite aunt, whether you pawn something,
sell your car,
whatever it is you do, you have to do it. And if you don't pay the whole entire amount, you better come to court with documentation showing all of your efforts, including, you know, the pawn shop receipts and all those things, your attempts to get money, your application for a loan or for a, you know, one of those quickie loans, whatever it is, you have to show that you are actually trying. And maybe the judge won't throw you in jail.
Because I would imagine judges will put up with a lot, but if you completely disobey them, that's where they go, you know what, no more mercy for you.
What I don't understand, where people have a, let's say, of a child support of $500 a month and they can't pay. They can't pay it, so they don't pay any of it.
Right.
Well, your kid's still eating, and your kid still needs clothes, and your kid still is going to school and needs shoes. So why don't you just pay what you can?
Yeah,
why don't
exactly.
you pay something toward, I mean, and then if the judge looks and sees in your checkbook that you went out to pizza and you did this, these are going to say you couldn't pay that for your kid.
Right.
So, you know, this is not something to be messed with. You're going to end up in jail with not so nice people.
So to go back to the purge would be all the money owed.
Yes.
And so then the purge takes care of that debt and the contempt.
Right.
Contempt
and
charge.
The purge may not be the entire amount. The judge may have said, if you pay half now, I will let you out of jail. You're not going to jail.
Right.
And then maybe you can make payments over the next 6 months or so.
Okay.
It's something very serious.
I would say
people should take
find that money.
Yeah. Take
find
it seriously.
That money. Anytime you have a court order, It's serious business. That should go without saying, but as you said, people ignore that stuff all the time.
If you get something that says you need to be in court, you know, here's a really good example, jury duty.
Yeah.
People, for some reason, think, oh, this doesn't apply to me, in the garbage can. Well, you will have a warrant issued for your arrest. They take that very, very seriously, and people try to get out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, I have this going on, and they just don't show up. It is not something to mess with. I don't know why people want to do that. You don't want to mess with the court system. It's generally a fair, you know, system to you. They give you a chance. But when you disobey, that's when they're not fair.
Now, let's go to that. This is jury duty, and people do try to skip it. What's the law in Illinois for employers regarding their employees in jury duty?
They must allow the employee to go to jury duty, period. Okay. They don't have to pay the employee.
Ah,
yeah.
All right.
They don't, and a lot of employers
do. Can they dock
do.
You like vacation or personal days, or is that against the law?
My understanding is that they cannot do that. That it's sort of like a blank day. They don't have to pay you for it, but that it doesn't count as a vacation.
Okay.
And a lot of employers will pay for it, but the government will pay you a small amount of money. I don't even know what the current rate is, but it's horribly small.
Yeah.
So the employers, the idea is that compensates the employee for that, and they can't fire you for it. Do employers fire people for that? Absolutely. You have to bring a lawsuit to wrongful termination, which is, you know, probably not a good remedy.
It sounds like a huge hassle.
Yes.
How can companies sell your debt when you know they took it as a tax loss prior year? How can they double dip?
Yeah, I hear you on that. I've heard that argument. So basically, they've written off your debt. They get a tax deduction on it. Then they go sell it to a company that still tries to collect it. So I think, you know, what the fair answer is probably, let's say that your debt was $10,000.
Right.
Okay, they write off the $10,000, but maybe they sell it for $1,000. So maybe they only write off $9,000.
Okay.
You know, that's probably what they should do.
All right. Yeah, it's very unsavory.
Yeah,
the selling the debt, and then they keep coming after you. Bless you. Tell your staff there's no sneezing on the air. You gotta educate these people. I don't know what's going on.
They're allergic to Monday.
What kind of ship are you running over there at Conti Law? I'm not very loose.
I don't know. The pirates are taking over though.
Anyway, Karen Conti is here. If her staff isn't interrupting us, she will answer more legal questions. Now I'm probably going to get sued.
That's a possibility.
I never mentioned a name or a gender.
They know where the forms are.
Well, all right. File it. See what you can get out of me. Anyway, Karen's here. 312-981-7200. If you have a legal question, get it in. We'll get to them on the other side of the news. It's WGN. But How can people get a hold of you if they don't get a hold of us now?
Best thing to do is to email me, because then you can give me all the facts. Kconte at kcontelaw.com or 312-332-7800.
More with Karen on the other side. It's WGN. Thank you, Roger. Brian Noonan, Karen Conte, WGN. Karen's here every Sunday answering your legal questions, helping you out of whatever jam you are in. 312-981-7200 is how you avail yourself of that advice. Ron listened. He called in. He's been hanging on. Hi, Ron. Welcome to WGN.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a co-executor of a trust. My aunt and uncle passed away, and we're co-executors. We're supposed to, one of the stipulations of the trust is we have to have annuities for all the recipients of the will. We've got one person who refuses to sign the right documents, the proper documents to receive his annuity for him and his kids. He does not return letters, does not return phone calls, is not doing anything to receive this money. What recourse do I have as an executor?
Well, does your trust, I mean, the first thing I would look is the trust document, first of all, and sometimes it will say that the executor has the ability to execute documents to affect the intent of the trust, so that if someone is not cooperating, you would actually be able to step into the shoes of that person and make those make that signature effective. You do have to look at your trust document to see if that's there. You hate to have to go to court, because the whole purpose of a trust is to avoid probate and to avoid a court, but you may have to go to court to have that in effect. So just for me to be clear, the annuity requires that the recipient of the funds sign certain documents.
Well, the annuity company requires they have to give a particular personal information about themselves. I don't know what the information is, but they have to sign something, I guess, approving the annuity or receiving the annuity. I'm not sure. But the annuity company is the one that's requiring these things. Otherwise, they can't issue the annuity.
Is there some reason why this person is not doing that? I'm just curious what the background story is here.
Don't know. He's angry at something or somebody, but nobody's been able to contact him. We've made phone calls. We've sent letters. We've sent certified letters. And
yeah, this is. I see this sometimes where people who stand to make money or won't take the property or won't take the documents. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's just an emotional reaction to something that happened in the past, because all that stuff comes up, when people die, of course. This is a question that I think you need to hire a lawyer to answer that question, because if you don't do this correctly and the money goes to the other beneficiary, you could be sued. You want to be able to do things correctly. Or if there is a way for you to sign these things or to do something other than the annuity, if that was what was in the trust, of course, that's what you're supposed to do. But maybe there's some out there in the trust language that allows you to do something different that would still give the person that money, but not have to require him to fill out the paperwork. Right. Again,
so if he doesn't do anything, we have to go to court. We can't assign that money to his kids, or
no? I wouldn't be doing that. I would definitely not do that. Just because you're going to run the risk of being sued by him. Because if he's angry enough not to take money, you have to be pretty angry not to take money. Then
I know,
he
it's
might
a sizable
be
amount too.
Yes, and he might be angry enough to get mad at you that you give it to somebody else. So again, you should have a lawyer's written opinion as to what you should do as an executor, because you have what we call fiduciary duty, which means you have to put the trust's interest above your own. Okay. And that is a high standard, and you're going to be held to that. So if you have a lawyer telling you this is what you should do, that kind of exonerates you, if you will, from some lawsuit, because you're going to say, I followed the lawyer's advice. And if you don't have someone, I can give you someone who would be very good at giving you some quick advice.
What
on
kind
this.
Of attorney?
It would be an estate planning attorney, and it would probably be a person who would, maybe you need that an hour of that person's time, not even, take a look at the trust, ask the questions, and probably give you some written advice. So if you want to email me with your information, I can send you those referrals back.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
What's that email address?
Email me at kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at kcontelaw.com.
All right. Good luck, Ron.
Good luck.
Hope it works out. Yeah, I've never been mad enough that I wouldn't take money.
I've
been mad.
I
have been mad. But if somebody offers me a few grand, All right, I have a price. I may still be mad, but at least I'll have the cash.
That's right.
My question, well, the 708 texter's question, is in regards to workman's comp that was filed a year ago. The claim was filed with an attorney that didn't have my best interests. They hung up on me and told me, quote, you're going to just sit at home, end quote, 3 months after the injury. I had another attorney take the claim 3 months ago and would like to know why it's still in arbitration.
Okay, patience, patience, patience. This is a very long process. Workers' comp takes a long time. I don't know why. I think there's a lot of claims. There's a lot of lawyers doing the claims. If you don't settle the case, it has to go to trial. And I'm sure what your attorney is trying to do is to settle the case for that lump sum amount. So you get paid a little bit when you're off of work, and then you wait for that lump sum that you get for the permanency of your injury. And this takes a while because there's, you know, these lawyers have like 150 cases maybe on any given day.
Okay.
And so you just have to wait until it gets processed. And then sometimes it doesn't get settled until the courthouse steps, you know. No one wants to settle the case. Everyone
right.
says it's worth this and no, it's not worth that. And then when it goes to trial, getting ready to go to trial, that's when it settles. So if you're talking about 3 months or 6 months or 8 months, that's really not a long time in the world of workers' comp.
People think they're going to get their money the week after their
injury.
Yeah,
be patient. And you know what? Don't always just fire your lawyer because, you know, if you don't think your lawyer's doing a good job and you've got really good reason for that,
right.
I understand moving lawyers. But you don't want to be moving lawyer to lawyer. I don't care if this is a divorce or workers' comp or personal injury because it doesn't make you look very good and you have to understand why it's taking so long. So you should ask your lawyer. Hopefully your lawyer is in contact
I was
and will
gonna
tell
say,
you.
Should your lawyer should have explained
yes.
this to you up front that, listen, this process is going to take a while.
Exactly.
But then
but
you
listen
know,
to
you
it.
Know, right.
And
because you know
it.
There's clients who are going to go, well, yeah, they told me it was going to take a while. I didn't think they were telling me the truth. I want And they're going to call the attorney nonstop.
And again, I'm not saying that I know what's going on in this case, but listen, workers' comp lawyers work on a contingent basis, meaning they don't get paid anything
right.
until you get paid.
So they want you to get
they
paid.
They want you to get paid. They're moving their cases as quickly as they can, and maybe they're not good communicators. I know that that's the number one complaint against lawyers, is that lawyers don't communicate with their clients as well as they should. But don't use that as a reason to get a new lawyer because
okay.
you're just going to slow it down.
Right, because now you got to start over basically with the new lawyer.
That's right.
We were talking about the person who had the purge and had to go to, was going to go to court and was wondering what was going to happen if they couldn't pay the purge. They texted back in and wanted to know if they can appeal the purge amount. Can that be done?
Sure, you can do that, but it's not going to stay the underlying case. So, yeah, okay. you can purge within 30 days. If the judge says you're held in contempt, here's your purge amount, you can appeal it. Listen, you're going nowhere with that.
Right.
The fact that you were held in contempt can also be appealed, but the idea that the judge has a great discretion on what to use as a purge. So
okay.
you're going to file an appeals. They can take a year, year and a half. You're going to hire a lawyer to do that. If you hire a lawyer and pay a lawyer fees and you're not paying the purge amount, doesn't look so good. You know, you're angry about this, but I think the best thing to do is borrow the money, get this out of your life, and move on.
Right. Pay that money.
You don't want to be in jail.
And you don't want to keep paying that interest.
No.
Either way. So, all right, well, there you go. So we asked. Let's see. When a police officer stops me and asks me, where am I going, do I legally have to answer them? And what are the ramifications of not answering?
You don't have to tell the police officer where you're going. As a practical matter, I would be very polite and civil to a police officer. And, you know, you can be general and say I'm going home or I'm going shopping. Or, I mean, you don't have to, but I think that people get all up in arms about what they have to do and what they can't, you know. I mean, if you're going to a drug deal, you're not going to tell the cop you're going to the drug deal. But
I would, because then they would get, no idiot would tell me that.
I guess I just feel like
attention.
In this climate, right? It's a good question for
listen,
this climate.
I think I was always taught you
polite.
Respect the police and you're polite to them, you know, because just like you don't want to upset a judge. You know, I don't want to upset anybody who could put me in jail.
You know, it's all about authority. There are people in this world who have authority. Mm-hmm. And I think some people are raised that's not quite the case. Teachers, you know, give suggestions and not, you know. So I think that you have to just respect the police officer. He's making small talk. Maybe you're looking suspicious.
Right.
And he wants to figure out what's going on. And he's doing his job.
Yeah.
You know, he's not harassing you. And he doesn't care where you're going, probably. Right. He just wants to make sure that you're safe and that he's safe and the world is safe and answer the question. I don't think from a legal standpoint you have an obligation to say anything.
Do you? I've always heard this, and since we're on kind of this topic, do you have to have ID on you? Is that the law? Because you always heard that.
That's from state to
state. Okay.
And, you know, I'm not up to speed on that. I know that there are certain states that do require an ID, and I know those things have been challenged and been upheld.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. I can't answer for the entire, you know, or even Illinois, really.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about this. And I know you are an avid gamer, so I know you've been playing Pokemon Go nonstop. You and Jerry have been wandering around Chicago and Wisconsin playing Pokemon Go, trying to catch them all, which is the goal, of course. It's insane the amount of people that have been playing this game, but it brings up some good legal questions because there's always going to be something that goes wrong. And you sent me this question today, and I was like, oh, that's very interesting. I don't know. You're the lawyer. Why are you asking me? But people are following this game into all different areas, and we've already heard of people being falling off cliffs and people being injured. And there was a story out of Florida where two kids were shot at because they were somewhere playing Pokemon Go. If I were playing and I wander into a dangerous situation and I get hurt, is there any liability of toward the creators of Pokemon Go for my damages?
Those lawsuits are going to be going on like crazy, if the extent that they haven't already. I assume that there's probably some on file. And here's the question. Here's the analysis. The analysis is, does Pokemon have a duty to keep people safe? Do they? And so, okay, that's the question.
Okay.
So how do you analyze whether or not there is a duty? And the real question is it reasonably foreseeable that what you are doing, what Pokemon is doing, is creating an unreasonably safe condition for people? And is it reasonably foreseeable that what they're doing is directly going to be related to some injury? And so the question is, you know, I don't know this game because I haven't really been playing it. But the idea is it going to be so distracting? Is it going to bring people into areas and make them so compulsively obsessed with it that they're going to ignore their safety, they're going to ignore traffic, they're going to ignore the fact they're in a bad neighborhood? And I think there might be some traction on these suits. And
really,
it depends on the state. I know California has very liberal laws when it comes to this. Actually, California had an interesting case a number of years back. It involved a radio disc jockey who said something about, you know, if you follow me and you can follow me to where I'm going, then you get $100 or something like that.
Okay.
Let's just say that's what it was. And someone got in the car and they were following the person and they were being evasive. And of course, that person got in a car accident and killed somebody.
Oh.
And the radio station was found to be liable. That they created an unreasonably safe situation, knowing people are going to be following, maybe speeding, maybe not paying attention, all with the idea of trying to keep up with this
to
get the money, that really created an unreasonably unsafe situation. So let's look out for these lawsuits.
I was going to say, because if you've seen people playing this, and I was telling you off the air, I have seen around my neighborhood people playing it all the time. They're always looking down because they're looking at their phones. I almost hit a kid on a bike who was riding down the middle of the street, no hands, holding his phone, looking down, swerving. There's going to be more injuries due to this game.
You're right. And let me just say this for all the people out there. I guess I should. I was being my lawyer person. That doesn't mean that I think that's the right rule, because I think people have responsibility for their own actions.
Yes.
And I think people,
that's weird, Karen.
You know,
I don't know what you're talking about.
But I just know the way of the world, and I know that these are going to be issues. Actually, there was I just saw a couple of mothers got together and filed a class action suit against the Pokemon, saying that this is illegal gambling. That what they do is they set, you know, there's money that I guess that you can buy these certain things, and
yeah,
that
you're
it
asking
gets,
the wrong guy.
Not me too. And that there's a secondary market for these things, and they're selling them, and these kids are like gambling. And it's illegal gambling, they say. So there's going to be, whenever there's money, whenever there's obsession, whenever there's popularity, there's going to be lawyers out there who are going to bring some lawsuits.
All right. Well, Karen Conti is here. She's not bringing a lawsuit. She is actually helping you answer your legal questions. We have a few more minutes with Karen. Some people on the line. Hang on. We will get to you on the other side. 312-981-7200. It's WGN. All right. Brian Noonan, Karen Conti, WGN. You know all that. We're answering your legal questions. And by we, I mean Karen, because I have absolutely no legal background other than I do have some leather-bound books. But they're usually about Harry Potter or something like that. So let's get to the phones. 312-981-7200. Do they give you those legal books? Not give, but do you buy those in law school? Or are those mostly fake? If I see a lawyer on TV, I assume that they've never looked at one of those books.
Well, they're really pretty because they're kind of green beautiful. And red, but no one uses them anymore because now we have computers and we can do all kinds of searches that are so much easier than flipping through books. But they really are very pretty. A lot of lawyers keep them in their office because they don't have anything else to put on the shelves.
I like to think of my lawyer in a powdered wig going through the books and trying to find a statute from like the 1800s in some giant journal. That doesn't happen?
No, it doesn't really happen anymore.
Well,
no.
Listen. There's probably, you know, a lot of things that I would like to believe that don't happen. But what I do believe is people have called you with questions. So let's get to them. Okay. Dave has been hanging on. Hi, Dave. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
Okay, so this is, Karen touched on this a little bit earlier with regards to relationships with lawyers. When you enter into an agreement with an attorney for whatever reason, in this case it's business, and this is particularly with regards to costs as well. Is there something that you're supposed to get from them formally, similar to relationships that we have with anyone else in the form of a service agreement or a contract?
Yeah, you know, lawyers don't have to enter into agreements with clients unless it's a personal injury case and it's a contingency case. That is then required to be in writing, okay? But the best lawyers and the better lawyers will always have an engagement letter, or we call it a retention agreement or a services agreement, and it will spell out things like how much is the retainer, what is my hourly rate, what do my associates charge, what do my paralegals charge, do you have to pay for expenses, when is the bill due? All of those things should be spelled out in the agreement. And if you are a client and you are looking to hire a lawyer and your lawyer doesn't put that in writing for you, that's probably not a good lawyer, because you never want to get into a fight with your lawyer about the terms of the agreement, right? And it's sort of like that's the basic bottom line that a lawyer should provide is good legal services, and it starts with your relationship with your client. Did you have a lawyer without an agreement?
Well, I have. Well, it's been an ongoing relationship, and so far things have worked out, you know, verbally without a formal agreement, you know, with regards to what the cost is and what I was expected to pay, and I've paid and so forth and so on. But I'm wondering if I should probably elevate to a different attorney because this is more of a firm business decision that I need to make, you know, and change the attorney, even though my relationship with this one has been, you know, fairly, you know, cordial.
Well,
because they are more of a mom and pop outfit versus a more established firm, which would likely provide the things that you just mentioned. You know, what's your opinion?
Well, I think a couple things. I think that if you're happy with your lawyer, stay with your lawyer. If you have a good relationship and you trust your lawyer, that's good. I don't like the idea that there's no written agreement. And you can say to your lawyer, why don't we have a written agreement? We've been in a relationship for 2 years and you've always been fair to me, but I really would feel more comfortable if you know, and what lawyer wouldn't do that to keep a client?
Right.
And if he doesn't do that or she doesn't do that, then probably you do want to move on. But just because they, you know, it could be a lot of lawyers are kind of old school and they kind of feel like it's a handshake. And, you know, and there was a day for that, but I think that day is gone. And it's better to know what the terms are. It reduces, you know, litigation.
There's no question.
Doesn't increase litigation. It makes people understand what their rights and their obligations are. But if you feel like you need a bigger lawyer, a bigger law firm, you're probably going to pay more money, would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have to get some referrals, and you might need to try out a few before you find one that fits. So
Then in that regard, if you're considering bringing a new one on board or moving on to a new one, are there particular interviewing questions you should ask them, you know, before you do that?
Yeah, good question. I think you should get referrals from people that you know that are professionals. If you have other lawyers in your life or accountants or people who have similar businesses that you have, similar issues, then ask for referrals. I would look them up online, but that doesn't always tell you everything because you don't know from law schools like how good a lawyer would be. But I would say interview, and you would ask them specific questions about, do you have clients like me? What is your advice for, you know, for these kinds of things? How much do you charge? You know, how often do you bill? You know, what kind of communication do you have? Do you communicate by email? How often do I get to talk to you? Do you like in-person meetings? Find out the substantive area. If you have a substantive area, like let's just say you're into credit or something, what is your experience with the credit industry? What kind of cases have you handled in the past? I mean, I would write down all of these questions and go through them with the attorney. I think it's perfectly appropriate.
Yeah.
And I get those questions all the time, and I'm happy to answer them because you're doing your due diligence.
Just like interviewing for anything else, a doctor, the same thing, or anybody. You want to know what's going on.
Sure. And the other thing that is the intangible thing that I think is very important is just that sort of gut feeling. Do you like this person? Do you trust this person? Do you think you can rely upon this person's advice? Is this person paying attention to you? Is this person responsive to your phone call initially?
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't return the call in 5 days and you're a new client, then that doesn't bode well for your relationship. So I think that people should use their gut feeling because people will say later, like, I knew. He just didn't seem like he cared. And I just, then follow your instincts because you probably have, it probably means something.
All right, Dave. Well, good luck.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Good luck,
Dave. Take care. We are running out of time. We have about 1 minute.
Okay.
So I don't know if, Judy, can you give us your question in 30 seconds? Judy?
Yes, I was wondering, I live in a house for 8 years.
Okay.
And the house now has been sold. The landlord is selling the house. Closing for them is August 31st. I just got the notice Friday. How much time do I have legally since I just got the notice Friday?
Okay. Do you have a lease? You don't have a lease.
I had a lease the first year, but she never had me sign anything new.
Okay, so you're on what we call a month-to-month lease, so they have to give you a notice, and that is good. It's due in 30 days.
Okay.
So you give notice, and you have to be out generally within about 30 days.
So end of August, she's...
Yes.
They've done the right thing by her.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, you can ask for some extra time if you want. See if you can cut a deal with them, get an extra 30 days while you pay the rent and you move out of there. But when you don't have a lease, you're really at the whim of the landlord. And if the landlord sells, you're really at the whim of somebody you don't know.
Yeah, that's tough. All right. Good luck, Judy.
Good luck, Judy.
Real quick before I let you go, Karen, a texter from the 630. Thank you, Karen. My day in court for a credit card debt this past Monday was exactly like you said. I worked it out so I don't have a judgment against
you. Oh, good. Right, so I remember that question from last time.
Very nice.
Yay.
Congratulations.
All right.
So you'll be back next Sunday?
I will.
How do people get a hold of you during the week?
Call me at 312-332-7800 or kconti@kcontilaw.com.
And they can hear you Wednesday morning with Steve Cochran
at
640.
That's
correct?
Right.
All right. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Rick Hogan comes your way on the other side of the news. Thank you for listening and being part of the program. Don't forget, the first 10 minutes of the web-exclusive podcast will be Facebook Live in just a few minutes or on Facebook Live. I don't know what the tense of it is. But either way, you know what we're talking about. Thank you, Joey, for your first week. Thanks, Roger. We'll talk to you soon. All right. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. 9 o'clock with the news. Roger Battis.